Today's scripture lesson comes from the New Testament, from Matthew, and it fits right in with Mark's theme right now of eating with Jesus, or dining with Jesus. So it's Matthew 9:9-13. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew. He was sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And we know he got right up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were seated with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dorothy. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words of your Holy Scripture and ask that as I speak about them and we all ponder them, your Spirit might guide us so that we may come to understand and live these words. Amen. First thing I want to do this morning is to thank all of you for honoring my 25th anniversary at this church. Last Sunday was a very special day for me. I'm already getting choked up again, as I did last week. You all made it special for me, not just because of the gifts you gave me, but because of just you were here with me to celebrate. But I do thank you for the gifts that you gave to me and the honor of renaming the gathering area in my honor, and I am deeply humbled by all that. Speaking of gifts, last Sunday, Heather gave me a gift to honor the occasion, and I want to tell you about it. It was a homemade ointment that can be used to treat rashes and itches and things caused by things like poison ivy. And then Heather told me that it was made from jewelweed, which is a native plant that is often found growing next to poison ivy. And I thank Heather for the gift, and although I'm not going to seek out any poison ivy to see if it works, I'm sure it does, but I'll be ready the next time I stumble into a patch of poison ivy. But what intrigued me about this gift was the thought that a medicinal plant with the name called jewel weed, a medicinal weed maybe even, could be found growing next to the poisonous weed that it could be used to treat. Think about it. The bad thing, the poison ivy, next to the good thing, the jewel weed, found right next to each other. And that is exactly what happens in the passage that Dorothy read for us this morning. Jesus, the good thing, is found right next to the sinners and the tax collectors. Well, you get the connection. The Pharisees in our story certainly do. They see Jesus with the tax collectors and the sinners, and they confront Jesus by asking, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Why indeed? This Lenten season, I decided to preach a series of sermons with the catchy title, Dine Out with Jesus, taken from this church's once-a-month Dine Out program. The idea started with the news that the kitchen remodeling project would commence here at the beginning of Lent. And the kitchen got me thinking about preparing meals, and meals got me thinking about the number of passages in the Bible where Jesus is sharing a meal with someone. And thus the dine out with Jesus idea was hatched. Our passage this morning describes one of those meals that Jesus shared, a meal that outside of the Last Supper might be the most significant meal that Jesus ate. So it might do us some good to take a closer look at this story and see what the growing edges are that God would have us understand. So why don't we think about this dinner at Matthew's house? Matthew has been called by Jesus to be his disciple, despite Matthew's shameful reputation as a crooked tax collector. Matthew, it seems, is so excited and grateful that he invites Jesus to dinner to celebrate. And he is so excited that he also invites his old friends, people whom our scripture text calls tax collectors and sinners. And maybe if you're a tax collector, those are the only friends you have to invite. We don't know anything about these other guests other than their reputations. Well, we do know one thing. The Pharisees who have been watching Jesus also call them tax collectors and sinners. And they think that Jesus should not be sharing a meal with them. What seems to be clear that these were not the respectable people in town. In Bible times, tax collectors and sinners were often grouped with other less savory characters, beggars, thieves, murderers, sexually immoral people, even Gentiles. So we can imagine who might be at this dinner party at Matthew's home. And understanding the contempt that the religious leaders and even ordinary people had for people like Matthew is critical to understanding this story. That Jesus would call a person like Matthew to be one of his disciples, and that he would in turn eat with Matthew and a host of other tax collectors and sinners, is shocking to everyone in the community. And yet there he is, Jesus, sitting at the same table with these lowlives and looking like he has a good time, having a good time too. The scene reminds me of an episode of the old television show Seventh Heaven, where the pastor of the local church surprises everyone and goes into the local pool hall, the den of iniquity in that town, and plays a game of pool with the patrons. The pastor's action surprises both his congregation and the patrons of the pool hall. And I get the same feeling here in Matthew. Jesus eating with this group of never-do-wells surprises them and the religious people of town. But then that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? He surprises us. He shocks us. He turns our worldview upside down. Sinners ought to be shunned, right? Or maybe they should be taken out to dinner. Sinners should be punished, right? Or maybe they should be called a disciple. Sinners should be sent to jail, right? Or maybe they should be invited into our homes. Such is the topsy-turvy world that Jesus creates. I tried to imagine a scene like this happening today. And in my musings and scrolling through the internet, I found a modern interpretation of this story by artist Kevin Burns. He portrayed a group of people all sitting at a counter in a community diner, or maybe it was a local cafe. At the counter were the young and the old, the men and women, people of different races, people dressed in business attire, and people dressed in dirty, rumpled, and tattered clothes. A whole host of people who appeared to be from different backgrounds, all eating at the same counter in the diner. The artist wrote a commentary on his work, in which he asked, "What do we know about these people?" At first thought, I looked at the pictures and said, "Well, we know a lot. I know that the man who is dressed in a business suit appears to be a successful businessman, maybe even a pillar of the community, stopping in at the diner for a quick meal before heading on to his next meal. Next meal, next meeting, perhaps. And the man in the tattered clothes was probably homeless, sitting at the counter because he had no other safe place to go. The man with the dreadlocks, I'm not sure about him. He might be a drug dealer. The woman and the child with the shopping bag, maybe they stopped in for a bite before they returned to their shopping spree. Is that what I saw at the counter? Or maybe there was something else to see. Maybe the man who was dressed in the business suit is a selfish scoundrel who owns buildings in the city slums and charges excessive rent and doesn't keep his buildings under repair. And maybe the man in the tattered clothes is really a hardworking guy who just got laid off from his factory job and has stopped in at the diner to try to figure out what he was going to say to his family when he got home. And maybe the man with the dreadlocks is a doctor who runs the community clinic and is getting a quick lunch for himself and his staff. And maybe the woman and the child, the ones with the shopping bag, are actually living on the street, and the shopping bag contains all their worldly goods. We see what we want to see, don't we? Jesus sees what is there, and what is there are people needing healing. When the Pharisees confront him, he tells them, "Those who are sick and no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do." For Jesus, the people at the table sharing a meal with him are people who need help. They need to be healed from whatever ails them, including their sinfulness. Jesus saw in Matthew something that no one else saw, maybe not even Matthew himself. Jesus saw the Matthew that God had created and blessed. That Matthew was not some horrible person. He saw that he was one of God's own, someone who needed the healing touch of a spiritual physician. Jesus had a way of looking at people that way. I read that there is a kind of crystal called the Labrador Spar. At first sight, it is dull and without luster, but if it is turned around and around, it will suddenly come into a position where the light strikes it in a certain way and it will shine forth brilliantly. Jesus saw that people were like that. They may seem to be unlovely, but that is because we do not know the whole person. Everyone has a beauty within them, and it was Jesus who could bring out that beauty. It is Jesus who turns us around and around and around until our beauty shines forth. There was one more thing that the artist asked in his commentary about his drawing of the people at the counter in the diner. His commentary asked, "Which one is Jesus?" As I looked at the artwork, I could see no one that was obviously Jesus. You know, no one with a beard and a sandals, a robe. Perhaps that was intentional. Maybe Jesus is in all the characters at the diner. Maybe Jesus is the waitress serving them all. Or maybe they are all waiting for Jesus to arrive and join them in their meal. And maybe we are all waiting for Jesus to arrive to share that holy meal with us. The good one, healing what needs to be healed in us. Amen.